way, far away. But they wanted me to stand behind this little instrument here. And we're glad you're here tonight. And I just thought, you maybe don't know me, and you don't know my family. But we have three sons, Ruth and I, and we've been up in Alaska for the last over 52 years now. It's a long time. And we hate the winters, but the Lord's opened up a new ministry for us for the winter time. And for the last 12 years, we've been going down to Arizona, and we're at a resort down there. It's not a Christian resort, but we have wonderful, wonderful opportunities of serving the Lord down there. We have about 2,000 people in our trailer resort, and we have services on Sunday, and we've had to go to two services because of the number who attend. And then we have Bible studies during the week, and the Lord's opened other parks for us to go in. So we hold about three Bible studies a week. We have anywhere from 60 to 70 people who come to those regularly, and then on Sundays we have between 300 and 400 people who come to hear the Word of God spoken. And a lot of these people, I'd say most of these people, do not know the Lord. They come from backgrounds that maybe they went to church all their life, but as far as hearing the gospel, why, they never really have heard the true gospel. And so we have wonderful opportunities of sharing our faith with them. So we get quite excited about it. And we have, I don't know how many people that come in who are Catholic, and they sit there and listen to the gospel story, and God is working in their lives. And from time to time, we hear of different ones who trust the Lord. And it's very encouraging to us. So for these years, we were working with a man by the name of Harold Barrington. Harold and I were friends 60-some years ago at Guelph Bible School. We were in the same cabin, and he's been the chaplain in this resort for about 17 years. And he has had cancer, and 15 years ago they gave him 3 years to live, and he just passed away just before Christmas this year. So most of the responsibility falls on us now to minister to these people. That's what we're doing. And we mentioned we have three sons who still live in Alaska with their families, and as the grandchildren go out to school and get married, they don't want to return. So there, three of them are now with their spouses down in the States, various places. And we're very thankful for them. Well, I'd like to just turn to a scripture that everyone knows over in the book of Judges. And you know this story as well as any other. It's the story of Gideon. We're not going to read the whole story, but we'll just read the first few verses, and then we'll try to get something out of this for all of us. It's in Judges chapter 7. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Herod, the camp of Midian, was north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me, that her own strength has saved her. Announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. Can you imagine the Lord saying to someone, you have too many men, and I want you to send them all home? We always hear that God wants us. He wants as many as possible to serve Him. But the older we get in serving the Lord, we learn something. That we can have as many people serving as possible, but if God isn't in it, it's not going to amount to very much. So I'd like to speak tonight on the God factor. The factor that God has to be in the equation. Now, when I went to school, I wasn't the best student, I'll tell you that. I was terrible at spelling. And I was terrible at English, and I hated to read. So I really didn't do so well, but I was able to do math and arithmetic. I was fair in that. And I always learned in the arithmetic that so-and-so plus so-and-so equals so-and-so. And I found out I could do that. And I found out that when you read a scripture like this, we're talking about mathematics. For God is telling Gideon, I want you to take just a few men. I want you to take 300 men. That's what it narrowed down to. Those who didn't lap up the water with their tongues, but took their hand and took the water and lapped it. There were only 300 remaining, and those were the ones he was going to take into battle. Not very many against the thousands upon thousands that they were going to battle against. And he said this to them, I want you to take 300 plus God, and that'll give you victory. Now that was a difficult equation for Gideon, because he questioned it and wondered, how can you possibly think that so few of us would be able to defeat that enemy that's in front of us? But there's a saying, it's not just a saying, it's a hymn that we sometimes sing. God works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. And He plants His footsteps in the sea, and He rides upon the storm. And God says, if you come to Me with your weakness, and you add Me to the formula as a God factor, I will produce something that's very, very great. That's what He did with the Apostle Paul. It says of the Apostle Paul, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Now that doesn't make sense to us. But when you take weakness and put God as a factor in your equation, it comes out with strength. And you may be here tonight, whether you're a child, whether you're a young person, or whether you're an adult, when you say, I am too old to do anything, let me tell you something. God never gives up on us. And He doesn't want us to give up on Him. And I trust that He will give me the courage and the strength until my last breath that I can still serve Him. And I am nothing. and I have nothing. I don't have the ability to stand up in an eloquent way and preach a message that shakes and moves everyone. No, I don't have that. But I have learned that if you could take just a little person, a servant, and add to it God, and that will equal something that is dynamic for him. And if you feel you don't have a gift, you're wrong in thinking that, because we all do have some gift. And you say, my gift isn't very great. I can't do very much. Let me tell you about a man that I saw last Sunday morning. We were up in Hawkesville. That's where Ruth's brother is living now. And we went to the assembly there. And I heard about this man before, and we have known him. But I never saw it in action. You know what his gift is? You know what his job is? His job is taking a cup of cold water, and he brings it up to the platform before every service, and he places it there on the platform for the speaker. Don't get me wrong, I didn't need any water tonight. But I saw him going through the crowd last Sunday. It was Sunday evening when we went back. I saw him with the water, although it was up there in the morning too. And he walked through the crowd, and he set it on the platform. And I had heard about him doing this, and I forgot about it. And he did it, and then he went over to his seat, and he sat there and just bowed his head. He has been doing that for years and years and years, and that's his job. But you know what? He does that and brings that cup of water, and in that equation, plus God. And God says in his word that whoever gives a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, God observes that. God knows what he has done. And that's why each one of us, with our small little gift, if we will just realize when God's in the equation and there's a God factor in it, great things can be done for him. And that's wonderful. There's a lady sitting here today. She doesn't know I'm going to say this at all. But she's sitting here, and she has a grandson who has done something for the Lord. And I'm going to tell you about this one, and many of you will know him. My mother, when she passed away, left my father and alone, and he met this lady from Blaisdell, and her name was Gertrude Palmer, and she came into our family, and we loved her very much. And she had a nephew, a great nephew. And there were several of them. But one of them was named Ron Wolfley. Ron Wolfley grew up in this church. He grew up here in this Sunday school. And he heard many different things. We followed his career. I never met the man. And we used to follow on Monday morning. I used to always read the paper to see if he scored any touchdowns or what he did when he was playing professional football. And then when I was here 3.5 years ago, I was here on a Sunday night. And I had made a request to someone, and I don't remember who it was, that if anyone ever knows from here how to get a hold of him. I had tried and tried and tried. I tried through the radio station that he's now broadcasting for in Phoenix. He has a sports program. And I left messages, never heard anything about him. Never heard a reply. And then someone, when I was here that evening, gave me his home telephone number. And I called him and worked to see if he would call me back or something, and he finally did. And I got a little acquainted with him, and then Ruth and I met Ron with his wife at a restaurant close to where we were. And we talked for hours in that little restaurant. It was Sunday afternoon. It was Sunday after church. And he told me his story. He had some difficulties in life. You know what he told me? And he said this at least a half dozen times when we were talking. And he said how much I remember from this Sunday school at Blaisdell. I remember how the men taught me verses. And my Sunday school teacher taught me verses of Scripture. He said, I will never forget how they gave me such a foundation that I just can't forget that. And I appreciate, I'm quoting his words, what this chapel meant to him. Now, we were very thrilled to hear it, and Ron, as I say, had some difficulties in his life, and perhaps you know, I know you must know far more than I do about him, but he told me that he wanted to get back to the place where he could give a testimony again, to tell about the Lord, because he was very active at one time in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We didn't hear from each other for a year or two, and this year, just a couple months ago, I contacted him again and asked him if he was ready to give a testimony. And he came out to our resort the first Saturday in March, was just a month ago. And he came because we were trying to have an outreach with the men of our resort. And that was the one thing we put on a steak fry, and we've invited all the men if they would come, because this football player was going to come and talk to us. And the men came. We had about 70 men there. And we were gathered under this pavilion, and we had a lovely day. We had a nice meal, and then after it, Ron was introduced, and Ron stood up there and told about football, told some stories. He made people laugh at some of the things he said, very gifted in the way he speaks. And then at the end of it, he said, I want you to know something more. He said, I want to tell you how important something is in my life, and that's my faith in Jesus Christ. I heard it with my own ears, and I was thrilled. And the men, the Christians that put this on to try and reach out to the people, we were just absolutely thrilled with the message that he gave, because men's lives that day, just a month ago, were touched by a man who was touched by you who are sitting in this very room. And what I'm saying to you, we sometimes put ourselves down and we feel we can't do anything for God. If there's anyone in this room who was his Sunday school teacher 30, 40 years ago, if you were one of his teachers, I'll tell you what you did. You took your little gift and you added God to your factor and it produced something that is absolutely tremendous in reaching men out in Arizona for Jesus Christ. I commend you for what you've done. Your chapel has always been this way to, excuse me, to touch the hearts of young people. And I commend you, and I hope that you will continue to do it, because I heard it, and I was so blessed that day as he shared the gospel through his testimony. Gideon was a similar man. He took just a little bit of what he had, a little bit of faith, a little bit of trust he had in God. But with God, all things are possible. And I was very blessed by that. It was back in the 1800s. There was a man named Edward Kimball. I don't know if you know anything about Edward Kimball in the 1800s, but he had a Sunday school class. And he had just a few boys in his class. They were teenagers. There was one kid in his class that he seemed to sleep most of the time when he was in his class. And he felt he wasn't getting through to him. And he decided that he was going to go where this young man worked. And he asked God to just help him speak to this young fellow. He knows he's not getting across to him, and he feels an absolute failure. If only I could do something to help him. Evidently, my message isn't powerful enough. And Edward Kimball went with God to equal something else. And what it equaled that day when he walked into the shoe store where this young man was working, he told him how special he was, and he told him about Jesus Christ. And he said how important it is that you trust him. That day, this young man walked out of that shoe store a completely changed person because Edward Kimball came in the power of God and spoke to him about the Savior. And his life was never the same. That man's name was D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody started preaching in the city of Chicago. And D.L. Moody became such a preacher, but he had no education. D.L. Moody, he couldn't speak right the English language. He used to murder it. But D.L. Moody felt that if he put God in the equation, he could do something mighty for God. And it wasn't long after that he was invited over to Liverpool, England. And there D.L. Moody was holding a revival service over there, night after night. Not many people were coming. Nothing was accomplished. He felt so discouraged. There were men who could have encouraged him and helped him, but they didn't feel that he was the caliber that they wanted there because of the way he spoke and his English was so poor. But then things started to happen. The Spirit of God started to work. And the crowd started to come. And men and women were coming to Jesus Christ. And at that time, there was a man that could have been his name was F.B. Meyer. And F.B. Meyer told him that the way his English is, that he could really never accomplish anything for God until he gets some type of an education. But it was shortly after that that F.B. Meyer, that great student of the Word of God and teacher, he saw that in this man was something that many did not have. And he changed his whole mind. And D.L. Moody invited F.B. Meyer to come over to this country and preach the gospel and teach. And that's what he did. And that was in the late 1800s. And when he was preaching here in this country, F.B. Meyer, there was a young man by the name of J. Wilbur Chapman. And maybe that name wouldn't mean much to you, but around the turn of the century, Mr. Chapman became a teacher and a preacher himself. And he started to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as he preached, one day, a young man who happened to be a professional baseball player walked into his meeting. His name was Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday came to know Jesus Christ. He played professional ball for Chicago. But now he was turning his heart over to Jesus Christ, and he became an evangelist. And I'm thankful to say that my mother came to know the Lord as she walked the trail in the tent under Billy Sunday in Buffalo, New York, way back in the early days as a teenager. And he preached. He too didn't have the background, but he knew if he put God in the factor where he was humble before the Lord and sincere, that God could use him. And he kept preaching. And he went down into the Carolinas, and there he preached, and he preached, and some people were coming to Jesus Christ through Billy Sunday's ministry. And there was a group of them who started to pray. And they prayed for years and years and years that some evangelist would come to our state and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we could have a revival here. And as they prayed and prayed, God sent a man in answer to their prayer. And his name was Mordecai Ham. And in 1934, he had an evangelistic meeting. And he pleaded with people to come and accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And that night, when he was preaching, a young man walked down and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior in 1934. And his name was Billy Graham. Edward Kimball, when he started to preach, when he started to preach to his kids in that Sunday school class, he didn't have the abilities, but he knew if God was with him, great things could be accomplished for God. And that's the way our story is tonight. Gideon realized with faith and trust in God, and with God as the factor, that's the important thing. No matter what our weakness, no matter what our frailty, God can use that because he's the one accomplishing it. Paul said, Paul plants, Apollos waters, but it's only God who can give the increase. I want to encourage every one of us, no matter how old we're getting, just remember that when we allow God to work through us, it's witnessing to our neighbor, it's witnessing to our friends, the people we meet in the store, just having a happy smile on our face to show them that we love Jesus Christ. That's the factor that people need to see today. And there's not one of us should ever feel that we're past the stage of service for the God, because we never graduate from that. We never get past it until he calls us home. I just trust tonight, as we just think of what God can do and is doing in the lives of so many, we have been so encouraged in just being allowed to minister to a group of people. You know what it's like to have a person 89 years of age say at the end of a service, which she did to me, a little lady named Betty. She was so little, so frail, and she said, I'd really like to receive Jesus. That's quite a thrill. And we sat down and we talked about it. I said, are you sure you're Christian? Are you sure that Jesus came into your heart? Well, I hope so. I said, no, that's not good enough. We went over the same thing again, that you just have to receive him as your Savior and ask him to come in, and he promises to do it. And then finally, the light goes on. And when the light goes on and she says, oh, I see, then the old tears start coming down her cheeks. And we were so touched to see little Betty, and then she went and told somebody else what she did. Did I do anything? Not at all. But just when you have faith that God wants to use you and we're faithfully proclaiming the word, God gives the increase. And he brought this little lady as well as others who have come to the Lord. So we've been very encouraged at our latter years just to be able to be useful in some little way to minister the word of God. And you people here, as you pray, you're praying. We heard it tonight for some you're praying for. And that prayer that you take, when you do it out of faith and hope and love, God takes with that. And he adds to it. And he gives us the power, the dynamite, to make it really mean something. And with all our prayers and praises, we know that he adds his sweet perfume. And not only our prayers, but our service as well. God uses it. And soon, we're going to be home. We'll all be with the Lord forever and forever. So I trust you're encouraged as you serve him. And just think of Gideon. He didn't have much, but he went with the courage and the faith that was necessary. And he used that with the factor of God in his purpose. And it meant victory for the army of Israel.